to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The Flagstaff, Arizona Flagstaff School for Flagstaffs, teaching President Trump when to fly the flag at full staff.
Former President George H.W. Bush, the last living Republican who is not horrible.
And Sarah Palin.
Gosh, I sure wish you could all find a way to highlight John McCain's integrity without mentioning how classy he was for not blaming his loss on me or publicly calling me stupid. It's starting to hurt my feelings.
I am Dave.
I am Molly. And although our voices are soft, they are more than loud enough to drown out what little is left of Republican integrity.
The new Spike Lee joint, Black Klansman, based on the true story of a black undercover cop infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan in the 1970s, gave Barely Audible Whisper the idea to send Cletus and Thelma, our cartoonish white supremacist characters, undercover to infiltrate the Black Lives Matter movement.
We know we should have done this sketch 2 weeks ago when the movie was more relevant, but due to hectic schedules and our other white excuses, we just got around to seeing the movie on Sunday.
But good news, Thelma! I just got a response from Black Lives Matter. They complimented my efforts and gave me one of them colored folk slang nicknames. They done said, nice try, bot.
Damn it, Cletus, nice try ain't no compliment, and bot ain't no colored slang. It means they think you's one of them Russian robots what trolls activists.
You sure about that, Thelma? Bot sure do sound like a colored slang to me. As in, what you about, bot?
Damn it, Cletus, this is the whitest thing I've ever heard, and I say that as a white supremacist.
I appreciate the compliment, Thelma, but I was trying to sound like a black so I can make them Black Lives Matter blacks think I'm black, so as can infiltrate their organization.
Damn it, Cletus, I already done told you, you ain't gotta be a black to be a Black Lives Matter.
Sure about that, Thelma? Seems like being black is what makes Black Lives Matter a Black Lives Matter.
They got white folks what's also a part of their Black Lives Matter movement.
Why in the hell would a white folk want to join a Black Lives Matter?
Because, Cletus, them's the white folks what believe that all lives matter.
But if the white folks what belong to Black Lives Matter believe that all lives matter, how come the Black Lives Matter blacks get mad when we white folks say all lives matter?
Because, Cletus, the white folk what's part of Black Lives Matter that believe all lives matter don't say all lives matter on account of they believe they got to say Black Lives Matter to reinforce that all lives matter in a world what don't always treat the blacks like they lives matter.
How come when a white folk what's also a Black Lives Matter says Black Lives Matter, it implies that all lives matter, but when we say white lives matter, it implies black lives don't matter.
Cause that's what we's implying when we says it, Cletus.
Well, damn it, Thelma. I knows what we implying when we says what we says, but that still don't make it right for them Black Lives Matter blacks to imply we's implying what we's implying when we says what we says. It's reverse discrimination.
Damn it, Cletus, we ain't got time for another one of your reverse discrimination rants. But when we need to be reversing is our own discrimination so as to convince these damn Black Lives Matter blacks that we's the type of whites what don't discriminate.
I reckon you're right, Thelma.
And I reckon it's good for us that them Black Lives Matter blacks let white folks into these Black Lives Matter movement. Otherwise, we'd have had to got our one black friend to pose as us, and I reckon our one black friend wouldn't be our one black friend anymore if he knew what we was doing. And every racist white needs their one black friend.
I reckon you're right again, Thelma. Every Donald Trump needs their Ben Carson.
As best as I can figure it, Cletus, the key to pretending to be a white what joins Black Lives Matter on account of they believe that all lives matter is to act like we hate Trump.
Damn it, Thelma! What kind of self-respecting white folk hates Trump?
The kind that thinks Black Lives Matter.
I reckon you're right again, Thelma. But how's we supposed to pretend we hate Trump?
I ain't sure, Cletus. Maybe if we looked at Trump objectively.
Damn it, Thelma, I ain't gonna objectify Trump like Trump's a damn woman.
Damn it, Cletus, objectively ain't the same as objectify. Objectively means we puts aside our preconceived biases and judge things based solely on the available information.
That don't sound right.
Of course it ain't right, Cletus, but we's trying to act like Black Lives Matter whites, and Black Lives Matter whites ain't right. So we got to act not right in order to pass ourselves off as not right Black Lives Matter whites.
It's a whitewash.
It ain't working, Cletus. I can't find no fault with Trump. He's too perfect. He's like my Dale Earnhardt commemorative plate before it done got permanently stained with bean dip.
Damn it, Thelma. How many times do I have to apologize for staining your plate with my bean dip? I already done told you it were an accident, which is a fitting tribute to the accident that ended Dale's life, which is why his life is commemorated in the plate in the first place.
That's it, Cletus! The unintentional coincidence makes so much sense, it must be divine intervention.
What the hell is you talking about, Thelma?
Trump's racist.
Of course Trump's racist. But we's trying to think of things not to like about him, Thelma.
Don't you get it, Cletus? Trump's racist is what they hate about him. We ain't got to find nothing wrong with him. We just got to talk about what we love about him as if it's what we hate about him.
Well, that sure is smart thinking, Thelma. Once we become Black Lives Matter whites, we can call the cops on all them color folks that ain't actually doing nothing, but they won't be able to say we's doing it on account of we's racist, on account of we believe that all lives matter, but we don't say all lives matter on account of we say Black Lives Matter, on account of Black Lives Matter implies all lives matter. In a society, we don't always treat black lives as though they matter, but secretly we believe
white lives matter.
These days, news comes in so fast that we're forced to make snap judgments on small snippets.
Is this changing the way our brains work at a fundamental level? We found a scientist who thinks so.
I'm Hedley Banger, Doctor of Psychology at University of Maryland, University College, School of University. I'm attempting to prove that some humans' brains have evolved to be able to make accurate extrapolations based on less than 10 words of information. I'm awaiting a meeting with a woman who claims to have this power.
Dr. Banger?
Ah, you must be Mrs. Finkterclinch?
Well, I must say, we're off to a bad start. You should always refer to a woman as Ms.
I apologize. I assumed your ring and hyphenated last name.
You should make sure you have accurate information before jumping to conclusions.
You're right. I'm sorry. Ms. Finkterclinch.
It's Mrs.
Fine. Did you abstain from all news coverage, as I asked?
Yes, I have no idea of anything that happened in the last 10 days.
Fantastic. I'm going to read to you a headline, and you tell me the rest of the story.
I think you're going to be amazed by what my brain can do.
Hurricane Lane drops record-breaking rainfall on Hawaii.
Hawaii residents are grateful for the rain, which the Lord God sent to cool off all that lava from the volcano eruptions earlier. They aren't too worried because it's an island, and islands get hurricanes all the time. And God was good and kept the storm from the shore.
Amazing! You knew it didn't make landfall! Let's try another. Undocumented immigrant charged with murder of female Iowa jogger.
Oh, my Lord. This is why we need a border wall. This man, Pedro Bandito, sneaks across in a van and joins the Latin M13 Kings in Iowa. And this kind of thing happens all the time. And he finds a beautiful, God-fearing woman and stalks her until he kills her in a cornfield, leaving her 7 children motherless.
Oh, amazing! How did you know it was in a cornfield?
I told you I'm special.
Oh, let's do another. Mass shooting reported at video game tournament in Jacksonville.
You see, this is what happens when we let our kids play such violent games. This 19-year-old boy spends all his time playing shoot-em-ups, and it's all he can think about. So when he loses the tournament, he terrorizes the fine town of Jacksonville, Texas, killing dozens of game players with an illegally obtained AR-15. Now he must face the consequences of what he's done, and there is no restart button.
This is absolutely fantastic. How were you able to know that he lost the tournament? I can't wait to publish these findings.
Dr. Banger's findings are currently being peer-reviewed by Dr. Will Actually, who joins us now.
I'm Will Actually, FFS, Professor of Logical Studies of Logic at University of Maryland University College School of University. Dr. Banger's study, and the doctor himself, are an embarrassment to the institution. His subject, and the study itself, are rife with bias. A quick fact check shows that Ms. Finkterclinch's assessment of each news item was far more false than true.
Such as?
The rain has actually been quite a hardship on Hawaii, and rain cannot actually cool lava to any significant degree. As a Pacific island, Hawaii is not accustomed to hurricanes, as Ms. Finkterclinch asserted. The accused murderer of Molly Tibbetts, who was actually 20 years old and not a mother of one, let alone 7, is actually named Christian Rivera, not Pedro Bandito, and has no mob ties.
And the video game tournament?
It was actually a Madden tournament, not a violent video game. It was Jacksonville, Florida, actually, not Jacksonville, Texas. The weapons were handguns, not AR-15s, actually obtained legally. The shooter, who was actually 24, not 19, does not actually have to face the consequences, as he turned the gun on himself and is among the three, not dozens, dead. I think that's everything. It was hard to keep up with all of the errors.
But how do you account for all of the things that Ms. Sphincter-Clinch got right?
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. It's pretty easy to guess that a hurricane didn't make landfall. Most of them actually don't. It's also pretty easy to guess that the body was hidden in a cornfield in Iowa. That's where you hide bodies in Iowa. And why else would someone shoot up a video game tournament unless they're an infantile psychotic who doesn't know how to handle losing said tournament? Miss Sphincter-Clinch's mind is exactly as amazing as that of an animatronic fortune teller.
So why does Miss Sphincter-Clinch believe she knows so much about all these stories?
And why does Dr. Banger believe her?
It's actually a combination of confirmation bias and belief bias. Actually, we all do this. We hear an incomplete story and we fill in the gaps with already held beliefs and ignore what doesn't confirm our theories. For example, a Trump staffer could write a tweet for him that contains a typo, which you most likely would take as further evidence that Trump is an idiot.
That's true, I would.
Similarly, Dr. Banger blissfully ignores all the elements of his study that disprove his theory because he is so desperate to prove its truth. He is to science what the National Enquirer is to journalism.
What can we do to avoid being like Ms. Sphincter-Clinch?
Relax, breathe deeply, spend more time absorbing information, and pause before reacting. I've composed a little ditty to help. If you don't have time to read the whole thing, you don't have time for an opinion. Fuckface.
Following a thorough study by researchers at George Washington University, the official Puerto Rican death toll following Hurricane Maria was revised from 64 to 2,975.
That's nearly 50 times the original estimate. Or to put it another way, the original estimate is so wrong that the number is almost as incorrect as the government's response to Hurricane Maria was wrong.
To put that yet another way, the 9/11 terrorists murdered 2,977 people, not all of whom were American citizens, which means that America's inept hurricane response killed more Americans than 9/11.
Barely Audible Whisper turns to our she-devil and hell correspondent to get a reaction to almost 3,000 dead American citizens from a 9/11 hijacker currently suffering in hell for all eternity.
I'm coming to you from hell, where news that the death toll in Puerto Rico is almost exactly equal to the death toll on 9/11 is being met with mixed emotions by a 9/11 hijacker.
Obviously, I welcome the mass death of American citizens as wonderful news, but I have to admit, it's a little disheartening to realize that after all the work I put into 9/11, America killed as many of its own citizens through sheer indifference and incompetence.
You sound disappointed.
I am a little disappointed, yes. Not as disappointed as I was believing that I was bringing death to the quote, Great Satan, only to die and find out I would spend eternity being tortured by the actual Great Satan. But yes, a little disappointed.
Disappointed that your seemingly untouchable death toll record has been broken?
It's more than that. I mean, records are meant to be broken, right? But this way the record was broken, it seems so cheap. If they died because of the actual hurricane, that might be a respectfully terrifying disaster, but the overwhelming majority of deaths were preventable. That's not terrifying, it's just stupid.
I hate to see you suffer like this. On top of the eternity of suffering that you already suffer, that's suffering you deserve. And I enjoy to watch you suffer from it. But this additional suffering seems unnecessary.
Unnecessary, that's the word for it. The suffering of Puerto Rico was unnecessary because it easily could have been prevented, which makes the suffering I'm suffering due to that suffering an unnecessary suffering to be suffered on top of the necessary suffering that I'm already suffering because of the suffering that I caused.
I wish I could alleviate your suffering.
Have sex with me. I've been suffering the insufferable suffering of an eternity of virgins.
I thought an eternity of virgins was your idea of paradise.
It was. It's like that Twilight Zone where the guy thinks he's in heaven, and then he realizes that he thought was going to be his own personal heaven turns out to be his own personal hell.
Between you and me, the devil stole that particular torture from Rod Serling.
The sex is awful, as the irony is delightful.
I can't believe that you thought I would alleviate necessary suffering, that you're suffering just because I wanted to alleviate the unnecessary suffering that you're suffering because of the unnecessary suffering.
I'm sorry. I got confused about which suffering was which suffering.
How dare you try and trick me into alleviating the eternity of suffering that you are suffering because of the suffering you caused others to suffer by pretending you don't know which suffering is unnecessary and which suffering is necessary to suffer. I have suffered enough of your insufferable lies. You'll suffer for this.
Great! So now I have to suffer more suffering on top of the eternity of suffering and the unnecessary suffering caused by the unnecessary suffering. Just because I tried to alleviate my necessary suffering of suffering the insufferable sex of an eternity of virgins by tricking you into thinking that I would be alleviating the unnecessary suffering of unnecessary suffering by having sex with me.
Of course you have to suffer. You're a 9/11 terrorist. You didn't think I would really let you off the hook just to prove a point about Puerto Rico, did you?
Actually, yeah, I was hoping that you'd get so carried away with the fuck FEMA sort of like anti-Trump thing that I would come across less of a bad guy.
In what absurd and nonsensical universe does noting that the death toll in Puerto Rico is equal to the death toll on 9/11 equate to the terrorists coming across as lesser bad guys?
Fox News.
As part of his ongoing effort to
obstruct justice,
investigate the potential Trump-Russia scandal, Republican House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes traveled to London recently to
obstruct justice,
investigate the infamous Christopher Steele dossier, and whether or not British intelligence were aware of Steele's contacts with Bruce Orr, the U.S. Justice Department official who Nunes has slandered as part of his ongoing
obstruction of justice
investigation. Nunes requested meetings with three different British intelligence agencies regarding his
obstruction of justice
inquiries, only to be rebuffed by all three agencies who mistrust Nunes and fear he is interested only in
obstructing justice.
Obstructing justice. For more on Nunes' fruitless trip to London, Barely Audible Whisper turns to irritatingly British correspondent Nigel Billingsworth.
Hello, I'm Nigel Billingsworth, speaking to you in the irritatingly unnecessary staccato of a journalist for the BBC. Shifty-eyed Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes came to London on a mission to meet with agents of MI6, MI5, and the Government Communications Headquarters. Three meetings he planned on taking at the same time, because his eyes are so shifty, he can look at three different agents simultaneously. But his plans, like his eyes, shifted.
Nobody wanted to meet with me. For some reason, they seemed to think that my repeated, blatantly obvious efforts to undermine the Mueller investigation for purely political reasons suggest that I'm only interested in undermining the Mueller investigation for purely political reasons.
It doesn't take a highly trained professional spy to recognize such blatantly obvious efforts to undermine the Mueller investigation for purely political reasons. But nevertheless, Chairman Nunes tried to convince three British agencies staffed entirely with highly trained professional spies that his blatantly obvious efforts to undermine the Mueller investigation for purely political reasons were not, in fact, blatantly obvious efforts to undermine the Mueller investigation for purely political reasons.
That's weird. You think that highly trained professional spies would just blindly take the word of a politically motivated shifty-eyed liar?
Despite being rebuffed by all three of the intelligence agencies he had hoped to meet with, Chairman Nunes was granted a meeting with UK Deputy National Security Advisor Madeleine Alessandri, if for no other reason than British politeness is so staunchly severe that it must be extended even to even the most loathsome of shifty-eyed scumbaggery.
I entertained Chairman Nunes for tea. He sipped his tea with his hands whilst simultaneously buttering his scone by gripping the utensil with his eyelids and spreading the butter with the perpetual motion of his perpetually shifty eye.
That's the same shifty eye technique I used to uncork bottles of wine at hooker parties we have at the winery I own.
In an unrelated news item that explains that joke, A Napa Valley winery, partially owned by Devin Nunez, is under investigation for hosting parties for investors that featured prostitutes.
As I observed Chairman Nunez delicately dollop Dijon on his finger sandwich by carefully calculating the shiftiness of his shifty eyes, the fact that he deals in transactional sex became as clear as the fact of his lying.
And for some reason, she didn't trust me either. She didn't give me any of that information I wanted, even after I made her an origami swan out of a napkin using the shiftiness of my shifty eyes to create each delicate fold.
And so, Chairman Nunez returned to his Napa Valley home with nothing to show for his journey but an elegant origami swan crafted from the shiftiness of his own shifty eyes, clinging desperately to the hope that his voters, like his prostitutes, place no value on looking a man in his eyes.
In a bizarre tweet on Tuesday, President Trump accused Google of being, quote, rigged against him, claiming without evidence that 96% of results for Trump News are from, quote, national left-wing media.
For a deeper look at this conspiracy theory, Barely Audible Whisper turns to conspiracy novelist Dan Brown, not to be confused with Barely Audible Whisper's cast member Dan Brown, who will be playing the part of Dan Brown, the author, not himself.
This is author Dan Brown, not to be confused with actor Dan Brown, who I am, but in my capacity as Dan Brown the actor, I am acting the role of Dan Brown the author. This needless complication of something simple demonstrates just how effectively I, Dan Brown the actor, am at portraying Dan Brown the needlessly complicated author. As an author, I am also using the present needless complication to foreshadow the needless complication to come, because good authors use foreshadowing as a technique, but so do I. I initially thought this would be a straightforward debunking of an idiotic and baseless conspiracy, which it was. But as I debunked the conspiracy Trump was alleging about bad news, I uncovered a conspiracy Trump was perpetuating about bad news.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
But to add needless complication to a simple running joke, we are inserting a different woman to impersonate Trump, who does not do a Trump impersonation, but rather reads conspiratorial tweets in the melodramatic conspiratorial tones of my melodramatic conspiracy fiction.
Google search results for Trump News shows only the viewing slash reporting of fake news media.
Our non-Trump impersonating Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
Or is that what Trump wants you to believe?
No, I really am a woman.
That checks out. But where does the idea that Trump hates it come from? It comes from media reports about Trump, which are bad news for Trump, but are based on Trump being Trump, which proves that the true source of all bad news about Trump is Trump. Trump is conspiring against Trump to create bad news about Trump so that Trump can complain about bad news about Trump.
Fake news!
Consider the negative story about Trump not liking being impersonated by a woman that you are still using as a running joke. It was a negative story about Trump, but it was an irrelevant negative story about Trump, but it was the kind of irrelevant story about Trump that upsets Trump's critics. But Trump knows that when Trump's critics are upset by irrelevant Trump stories, Trump supporters become upset with the upsetness of Trump's critics over irrelevant Trump stories, which in turn makes defending Trump against irrelevant criticism seem relevant. The fact that Trump is so sexist that being portrayed by a woman bothers him seems relevant because it reveals a relevant sexism. But relative to the more relevant real-world relevance of his actions, an anecdotal account revealing relative relevance is rendered irrelevant. Conversely, by elevating the relatively irrelevant to relative relevance, Trump simultaneously reduces the relevant to irrelevance. Which brings us back to Trump's tweet.
In other words, they have it rigged, all caps, for me and others, so that almost all stories and news is bad, all caps. Fake CNN is prominent. Republican/conservative and fair media is shut out.
When Trump complains about bad news about his bad presidency, which Trump created by being a bad president, he juxtaposes the bad coverage of his bad presidency from good news outlets against the good coverage of his bad presidency from bad news outlets. Bad news outlets are able to highlight bad news stories about Trump as good news stories about Trump by elevating relative liberal anger over irrelevant bad Trump stories into seemingly relevant complaints about imbalanced bias against Trump by highlighting the relative irrelevance of liberal anger over an irrelevant event. This, in turn, makes relative liberal anger over relevant events seem irrelevant because it fits a pattern of perpetual irrelevant anger.
Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that is good.
By needlessly creating bad news, in addition to the steady stream of bad news that results from his bad presidency, there is little room left for rare good news to come from his presidency. And even that good news is turned into bad news by Trump, who creates bad news out of good news, thus creating the illusion that good news outlets are burying Trump's good news underneath bad news being highlighted as good news by bad news outlets.
As everybody is aware, the past administration has long been asking for 3 hostages to be released from a North Korean labor camp, but to no avail.
That was a Trump tweet about the release of 3 North Korean hostages, an unquestionably good news story, which he turned into a bad news story by not only taking a partisan jab at Obama, but by lying about the fact that 2 out of the 3 hostages were captured while Trump was in office. The completely irrelevant partisan potshot, coupled with the relatively irrelevant lie about the relevant good news, forced good news outlets to report the bad news that Trump interjected into his own good news, thus allowing the bad news outlets to complain about the bad news the good news outlets were reporting to dampen Trump's good news.
They are controlling what we can and cannot see. This is a very serious situation. Will be addressed.
Trump closes his conspiratorial tweet with the conspiratorial allusion to they, as in the mysterious they who secretly control the information. However, he is the they. The bad news that he claims is perpetuated by the they is actually perpetuated by the he, who makes the bad actions of he himself appear to be manufactured by the bad intentions of the they. Trump is perpetuating a conspiracy against Trump, which benefits Trump by making Trump appear to be the victim of a conspiracy against Trump. Either that or he just sucks and all this other shit is just an unintended consequence of his sucking.
Fuckface!
Thanks for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, made possible by the following real people. Writer, producer, co-host Dave Baldwin, co-host Molly Brown, writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown, actor Robin Ward, and returning for the first time since having a baby, actress Emily Sams Brown. Thank you for listening. Please like us and follow us and share us with all your friends. We appreciate your support.
Hubris!